This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and this morning I am with Scott Berger, who's with the Center for Chemical Process Safety. Scott, how are you?
I'm very fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Well, Scott, thanks for joining us this morning. You are participating in my biorefinery plant safety series, and today we're going to focus on proper chemical handling. But I want to start off, you're new to domestic fuel, so I want to start off and have you tell us a little bit about what you do.
Okay, well, the Center for Chemical Process Safety was formed by our parent organization, the American Institute of Chemical Engineers, in 1985 as an effort to rally basically manufacturing companies around the work of process safety to come up with improved guidelines and improved practices to prevent major chemical accidents such as fires, explosions, and toxic gas releases. And so since that time, we've published almost 100 guidelines in this area, and it's all done based on real life experience, lessons learned from incidents that have occurred. And the work is all done by our members, which include about 140 chemical refining, biochemical, and other similar manufacturing companies located all around the world.
Scott, my first question for you is, what are some of the chemicals that are traditionally used in the process of making ethanol? I believe I know a few, but I'm sure there's a lot more. So can you tell us first what some of those chemicals are?
Well, there's really two ways that I'm familiar with for manufacturing ethanol. The first is what we call the petrochemical route, and that is basically the hydration or adding of water to ethylene, and so that coming from the refining process. So it's a petrochemical reaction. And then that's the synthetic route, and the other route is the biological route, which comes from fermentation via various kinds of biological sources, such as corn or grain. Everybody's familiar, of course, with fermenting grain for beer and whiskey, and fermenting grapes for wine. So that it's a similar type of process.
In general terms, if you're handling a chemical, what's the proper way of handling and using a chemical in any type of biorefinery situation?
Well, I think that's really the correct question, and because I think that it really doesn't matter which chemical that you choose to use. Every material in the world has some kind of hazard, and if you don't respect that hazard, don't identify the hazard, and don't manage the hazard properly, then you can have a problem. I think that's the key message, is to know your hazards of all your materials and to manage them properly.
And Scott, how do you communicate that? It sounds like depending on what type of chemical, you might have some slightly different procedures for handling. So is that through manuals? Is that through safety videos? Is that through training sessions? I mean, how does your organization really delve into the proper handling of chemicals for refineries?
Well, it really doesn't matter whether we're talking about a refinery, chemical plant, or whatever. I think the first thing that we would start with is that the management, the company, has to recognize that they're dealing with hazardous materials, and then they have to commit that they are going to manage those hazards, because without that recognition and that commitment, nothing will happen. And then from there, they need to implement a management system for managing the hazardous materials and the hazardous process. And that management system, can involve many different steps, but, identifying the hazards, knowing the skills that you need to have to handle them properly so that you can, train the people properly. You need to identify how the hazards manifest themselves in the process and come up with ways, engineering solutions to address those hazards, but then also have the right operating procedures, right maintenance practices in order to operate safely. And then lastly, because with that management commitment, you have to be looking at your performance all along to see if there's, I'll say, near misses that might be suggesting a problem coming in the in the future and addressing those before they can, you know, become more serious.
So, Scott, would you consider a near miss to be, in general, from a learning perspective, to be an actual accident? Is that sometimes the best, or should that be potentially the best time to revisit your safety procedures?
Well, certainly, you know, if you have a little, you know, a small leak that turns out to not be a fire or explosion, or you know, nobody gets hurt, you know, that is still an accident, and I think a lot of people would refer to that as a near miss. But a near miss would also be if, let's suppose you're trying to fill a tank and the high level alarm goes off, that's a near miss because, in fact, you know, the point of the process is it's not supposed to operate at a high level condition. And so you have to be also looking at those kind of near misses to address those to make sure that they don't happen.
So Scott, does the Center for Chemical Process Safety train, do you have programs where you could actually come into an ethanol plant or a biodiesel plant and actually help train all the employees on proper chemical handling?
Yes, we do training, and even perhaps more conveniently, we received a grant from the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, to develop an online training course for plants that produce bioethanol and biodiesel. That is available for free, and it will be available for free for one more year on the website, which is aiche.learn.com. And they simply have to go there, and individuals would register, and they will then be able to take the course at their own pace.
And Scott, in closing, could you give us a few best practices, you know, from your experience working for the Center for Chemical Process Safety and working with other facilities? What are two or three best practices that you really want these plants to adopt?
Well, I think trying to answer one or two things is really not not really appropriate, because when you go into the business of handling hazardous chemicals, you're really looking at a large commitment. It's kind of like raising a child. You don't say, "Well, I'm only going to worry about feeding and clothing the child." There's many, many other things you have to do, and I think it's the same thing when you're talking about handling hazardous materials. So I really can't give you one or two things. It's really all the things I said before. You know, knowing your process, knowing your hazards, analyzing and managing those hazards, designing, you know, proper operating procedures, maintenance, training, following metrics and looking for improvement. We actually mentioned 20 different elements within our guidelines for risk-based process safety, and I really couldn't tell you that any one is more important than any other.
So I think the key message you're saying is it's a combination of practices that need to be put into place anytime you're handling a chemical.
That's correct.
And could you, Scott, one more time, give us the website so that people can go get more information?
Yes, well, I'll actually give you two. The first one is for the free online training for bioethanol and biodiesel plants, which is aiche.learn.com. And then I'd also invite people to look at the CCPS website, www.ccpsonline.org.
Great. Thanks, Scott.
My pleasure.